On March 28, 1979, Fred Scheimann narrowly escaped death when a pipe burst in the basement of Three Mile Island nuclear facility. Above him, operators faced a nightmare: 1,100 dials, 600 warning lights, and critical information hidden from view. When the PORV valve malfunctioned, its indicator light showed only that a switch had been flipped, not whether the valve had actually closed. As the reactor core reached 4,300 degrees, instruments displayed only ? Instead of readings. Operators, drowning in information yet starving for understanding, made a catastrophic decision to shut off emergency pumps. They came within 700 degrees of a meltdown that would have sent radioactive material into the atmosphere. This wasn't just a nuclear crisis. It was a design crisis. The same fundamental problem plagues your smartphone, your car dashboard, your cable box. When machines fail to communicate clearly with humans, the consequences range from mild frustration to catastrophic failure. Donald Norman, who investigated Three Mile Island and later coined the term user experience, recognized something profound. Humans might make errors, but they aren't wrong. Designers must accommodate human limitations rather than expect perfect behavior. Today's redesigned control room at Three Mile Island tells a different story. Consistent indicators, visible information, and systems mapped to mirror physical reality. This transformation represents our journey from machines that doom us to make mistakes to a world where even advanced AI feels intuitive. Henry Dreyfuss lost his father at 16 and absorbed the Society for Ethical Culture's radical teaching. Morality stems from personal choice, not divine command. After boldly critiquing a Broadway director's sets as rotten, he discovered theater's power. Certain combinations of color, light, and line predictably moved audiences. But he wanted more than applause. He wanted to reshape the world. 1920s America was anxious about its creative identity. Secretary of Commerce Herbert Hoover declined Paris's 1925 Design Exposition, admitting American manufacturers lacked unique character. Yet businesses discovered aesthetics drove sales. KitchenAid reported 100% increases after redesigning their mixer, while Henry Ford watched his market share halve as GM offered variety. Dreyfuss had a revolutionary realization. Use humans as the starting point for all design. He and wife Doris created Joe and Josephine, detailed drawings of average people that became his philosophy's foundation. His most enduring creation may be the Bell Model 500 telephone, whose form lives on in today's smartphone icons. By the 1970s, hundreds of competing firms had diluted his vision. In 1972, Dreyfuss and Doris ended their journey together in a suicide pact. World War II exposed a critical gap. Technology advanced faster than humans could master it. Radar's reach expanded monthly, yet performance lagged. Engineers blamed training, soldiers blamed designers, creating electromechanical marvels, requiring three arms and ability to see around corners in pitch darkness. Paul Fitz, investigating airplane crashes, rejected pilot error as explanation. His colleague, Alphonse Chapanis, introduced designer error. In the B-17 Flying Fortress, identical toggle switches for landing gear and wing flaps, placed side by side, caused 457 crashes in 22 months. Chapanis's solutions became foundational: shape-coded knobs for tactile identification, standardized instrument positions, controls moving in psychologically natural directions. As battles accelerated, matching specific people to specialized machines became impossible. Machines had to become universally easier to use. This birthed ergonomics and a profound shift, seeing humans as they are, with all their limitations, rather than as idealized rational beings. Design's true material isn't aluminum or carbon fiber, it's human behavior. During a 2016 Audi A7 test drive, the autonomous system's precision was striking. After two-button activation, the steering wheel moved independently, calmly adjusting when cut off. It quickly became boring, testament to its seamlessness. Yet adoption hasn't been smooth. A viral video showed a Dominican Republic disaster when someone tested Volvo's pedestrian detection on a car lacking that feature. Tesla's 2015 autopilot update led to near accidents as drivers misunderstood its limitations. Brian Lothrop developed a 3+1 philosophy: indicate the car's mode, signal actions before executing, show what it's seeing, and create clear transitions when control shifts. Designers of a muscle-augmenting suit for the elderly faced similar challenges. If it simply took over movements, users would feel like marionettes. The solution? Motors gave a slight buzz before engaging, allowing wearers to confirm actions. Sociologist Clifford Noss discovered humans unconsciously treat computers as social actors. People rated a computer more politely on the machine they'd used versus a different one. When Volkswagen researchers tested pedestrian reactions to autonomous vehicles, they found surprising fearlessness. People blithely stepped in front of driverless cars. What mattered most wasn't LED displays, but that the car behaved in a socially acceptable, respectful manner. The personality of the car is something you must program. In Delhi's GP block, Pitampura slum, Renuka couldn't grasp the internet despite owning a cell phone. Unlike Westerners who gradually absorbed metaphors like World Wide Web, she lacked mental models for the technology. Lockoff and Johnson showed that thinking without metaphors is virtually impossible. Our metaphors are grounded in physical intuitions, like up meaning consciousness in I'm up already. When Toyota's Prius disrupted the auto industry, Ford rushed hybrids to market but struggled with driver experience. Their battery gauge encouraged counterproductive braking as drivers tried to charge batteries. Working with IDEO, Ford created a dashboard with growing green leaves responding to driving efficiency, a metaphor that made drivers nurture their virtual plant. The desktop metaphor transformed computing from command lines to intuitive interfaces. Bill Atkinson's misinterpretation of Xerox's small talk windows led him to create instantly redrawing windows that felt like manipulating real objects. Apple's trillion-dollar empire was built on three interface revolutions: Macintosh OS, iPod click wheel, and iPhone touchscreen. Amazon's empire grew from one-click shopping, which eliminated checkout friction. As technology advances, metaphors eventually break. Apple's skeuomorphic designs became unnecessary, replaced by Jony Ive's cleaner language. Ford's Edsel flopped, despite extensive consumer research, because creators couldn't bridge the gap between polling data and actual user desires. Even influential designers like Henry Dreyfuss lacked formal processes for understanding users beyond their own intuitions. Bob McKim explored radical creativity methods at Stanford in the 1960s. His student, David Kelly, embraced this when developing an in-home VD test. Hospital staff laughed at his solution, but revealed their real problem: irretrievably misfiled patient records. "I realized that it was a creative act, talking to people," he said. "I had to actually feel the need of a person." Jane Fulton Surrey pioneered a new approach investigating lawnmower accidents. Rather than relying on vague reports, she visited victims at home and discovered people used products in unexpected ways, grabbing chainsaw guards as handles or pushing lawnmowers like vacuum cleaners. Her genius was noticing meaningful details: boys making swings from boiler room doorways or cacti used as notice boards that revealed unmet needs. Tim Brown realized stated wants often differed from actual needs. IDEO developed three key principles: studying human behavior, rapidly prototyping, and eliminating hierarchy. Their open office fostered collaboration with roughly equal salaries and a culture embracing failure as learning. IDEO's methods became standard practice across industries. The like button began with a friendship between Justin Rosenstein and Leah Pearlman at Facebook in 2007. Initially called the awesome button, they envisioned it as a simple way to express positivity without typing repetitive comments. This innovation introduced an entirely new model of digital feedback, eventually spreading across the internet. Despite his disciplined lifestyle, even Rosenstein confesses to being addicted to notifications, checking his phone compulsively. B.F. Skinner discovered that random, unpredictable rewards created far more compulsive behavior than predictable ones, explaining gambling addiction and our relationship with technology. User-friendliness evolved from making things easier to use into making them irresistible. Facebook spreads affirmation more than information, cocooning us in beliefs matching our own. Lies spread better than truth. A post falsely claiming the Pope endorsed Trump received 868,000 shares, while its debunking got only 33,000. Modern technology has achieved the design goal of making everything seem inevitable, so well anticipated we don't see the design at all. Yet inspiring innovators are making wild bets on new ecosystems. Growing up in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Leslie Saholio Sete discovered entrepreneurship at age 6. When her team won the $1 million Holt Prize, their magic ticketing solution leveraged Kenya's M-Tesa mobile payment system to transform bus transportation. Cognitive scientist Andy Clark argues that human minds extend beyond our skulls, incorporating tools to think thoughts otherwise impossible. Nothing about our current technological ecosystem is inevitable. We can still design for human flourishing rather than compulsion.